Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead.
You are listening to K-Ask Radio Station. We're so excited that you're with us tonight. Welcome, everyone. This is Sammy Smemo with 5252 Ministries Street Talk. This is a live radio show that airs across the world tonight, and we're just so happy that you're with us. Every Wednesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. Central Time, we will be on air. So try to join us all the time, and we encourage you, encourage all the listeners to call and ask questions on all the topics that we're discussing. You can call us at 347-850-8955. That number again for callers is 347-850-8955. And if you'd like to have additional information about us, you can visit our website at 5252ministries.org, or you can email us from that website also. And if you'd like to comment on our show, you can go to our website and sign into our guest book. We'd love to hear from you. So check us out and see what we do and see how we can all join up together for God. And let me just tell you some of the things we're doing this month in 5252 Ministries. We work out in the streets of Houston, Texas. And on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, we go out and we go out and try to just assist and serve the homeless that are on the streets. These are the people that have not gone into the missions. They're laying out there sleeping on the cardboard or whatever it is under the bridges. And go out and share some love and some Jesus with them. Take them some food, a smile, and some love. And just let them know that no matter, even though they're out there like that or whatever their reason is, they're out there, that God loves them just where they are. You know, one thing about it, viewers and listeners, is that God always loves you just where you are. It doesn't matter what kind of mistakes you've ever made in your past. It doesn't matter. He is right there with you. You just got to cry out to him. We do have a wonderful special guest this evening, and I'm going to go over that with you in a minute. But first, we're going to do like I always love to do, and that is to open up in prayer. And before I do that, I want to tell you, this Saturday at downtown, we have a special thing at Loaves and Fishes downtown Saturday. At 5 o'clock, we're going to have Acts of Worship Band that's going to be there. And they're amazing. They're going to come out there and we'll do praise and worship, and we're going to be just packed. So come on out. It's at 2009 Congress Street in Houston. And we're going to probably be live online there, too. So just give us a call if you want more information, or see our website. Or we're also on Facebook. You can find us. You Google in 5252 Ministries, you'll find we're on everything. So first of all, let's just open up in prayer and go from there, and then we'll get with our guest. Father God, we come to you live on the radio praying to reach millions out there of our brothers and sisters across the world. Father, we know the ones that are listening tonight are the ones that you have sent to us to minister to. Father, I want to pray for our nation and all the world. I pray for our nation, that our nation repents, Father. Repent, America, in Jesus' name. Repent in Jesus' name. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called in my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. He says, I will heal their land. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father, for that. And I also pray for all the hurting and the abused people in this world and across America and all over. I pray for all the addictions that to be healed in Jesus' name away from everyone, the drugs, the alcohol, the gambling, the food. Father, you know what their addictions are. I pray right now for them all to be gone in Jesus' name. I pray for the children that are homeless and hungry all over the world, Father God, and even in our own street. Some people are not homeless, but they have no food to eat, Father. I just pray that the neighbors have, you give them eyes to see what's going on so they can be a blessing to someone right there in their backyard, right there, Father God. I pray that they will become a warrior for you, Father God, to get out there and try to seek what's in their neighborhoods or in the streets of their cities that need help all over, because there's people everywhere that need you, Father God. They need help and they need you. I pray for our schools and our neighborhoods, Father God. I pray that we can get out there and take them back one neighborhood and one school at a time if we have to, Father God. I pray for that you put that everyone puts you first, Father God, in everything they do in public and private businesses in America and across the world, because you are the one that gives us the business to begin with, or everything we have, it's from you. It's not, we didn't do it. You gave it to us. So, Father God, I hope that, I pray that everyone understands that and just gives you the glory for everything, everything they have, because it's from you. Father, I give you thanks and all the glory for everything you're doing. And I pray for all the listeners tonight that if they can just feel your presence through this radio show tonight, Father God, I just pray right now that they just feel in their hearts to open up and just receive what we have for them tonight, to know that it's from Jesus, it's from you, God. And I pray for their finances, their health, their relationships, and everything that's going wrong in their life, that it doesn't matter, because if they have you, you'll get through anything with them. You know their problems, Father. You know what it is. So I just pray that they just let go and let you be God, and you get them through that. I pray for them to have the peace to know that you do have this and not to worry. I just pray for anyone out there that's sick, that their bodies just be healed in Jesus' name. But I pray for, so I know there's someone out there listening right now that needs healing in their body of cancer, heart problems, joint problems. I pray for complete healing in Jesus' name. Anything is wrong, Father God, you know, pray right now. And I just pray that anybody hears this and they just pray to you to please heal their body. And we want to hear about that, Father God, because we know that you're a mighty healer and you can do anything. And I pray for all the homeless and hungry, Father, everywhere, across the world, across America, in our cities and in our streets, under the bridges where it's, you know, to get out of the rain and the cold in the winter, Father God, and the heat in the summer. Father God, I just pray that the listeners go out and seek and try to find the hungry and the homeless in their own neighborhoods. And I know that I have a soft spot for the homeless because I know what it's like. But Father God, we know that if you can just open up hearts right now to receive, that they need to be a servant for you, Father God, because we can go out and be the hands and feet all across the world in America and in our neighborhoods, Father God. I just pray that our hearts are softened and know they have to get up and go. They have to get up on their feet and go. Not wait, just go. I pray that someone tonight gets up after this program and goes out and see if they can find anyone just to give them something, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or just a hug or just a smile. Let them know that they're there. They're a friend. Because, Father, we're so thankful you're a friend, our friend. You're the best friend we could ever have, Father God. And, Father God, I pray for all my fellow brothers and sisters everywhere out there that are in need for anything that is taken care of in Jesus' name. My heart cries out for Iraq. Iraq, Father, please deliver it. Miracles happen all the time, Father God, in our Bible. The Bible that you have for us is not a history book. That Bible was written 2,000 years ago, but the same things written there are happening now. We know that also in that was miracles. It was you, our Savior, and you can go out there, and we're just praying right now for a miracle, Father God. ISIS, you have to quit. You have to quit out there. You have no hold on us. We stand for Jesus and God's kingdom. You have no hold. Stop Satan in Jesus' name. Repent, ISIS, and lay down the sword of evil and pick up the sword of salvation. In Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of our servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I am claiming victory and supernatural miracles to break through in Jesus' mighty name. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for our guests. And Father God, just thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Well, I have a wonderful guest online. His name is Jason Storbakken. Jason, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. So glad you joined us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Sammy.
Oh, you're so welcome. You always was a pleasure to talk to. I met you back in December, and it was just a pleasure to work with you. And I thought, man, you're just perfect to get on the show. You have so many wonderful things going on in your life, and I wanted you to share a lot of that with the listeners out there so that they can get a hold of the things that you're doing and your book and everything that's going on. But first, I'd like to start out, first of all, just, you know, tell us your name, where you live, and just tell me a little bit about your history of you and your family, and to kind of get into the position that you're in right now at the Bowery Mission in New York City.
Sure. My name is Jason Storbakken. I live in the neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn, New York, and I work at the Bowery Mission in New York City. It's the third oldest gospel rescue mission in the world. It was founded in 1879, and I've been in New York for about 10 years now. I'm originally from Wisconsin. That's where I was born and raised. And I've been following the Lord for about 8 years. I did come to faith when I was 19, but I walked away from the faith for many years, and it was actually in New York City that I encountered Christ again.
Wow, that's wonderful. So what brought you to New York City?
Well, I kind of have a long story. I don't want to go too far into it, but we have a little bit of time. When I was a child, I was born in Wisconsin, and my mom was only 16 when she had me, and she raised me there, and I grew up in Wisconsin, moving around quite a bit. And at the age of 17, I left home and began to travel, and I would return every so often to work in a factory, or I worked for a railroad company for 4 years, and I often got in trouble, you know, with school authorities, local police authorities, and different things because I was acting out and just really rebelling and trying to find my identity, but finding your identity in the world is the wrong place to look for it. And so I kept stumbling and falling and just hitting so many obstacles. And at the age of 19, I was actually in India. I was backpacking across the world from money I'd saved up from a cheese factory, being from Wisconsin, lots of cheese factories. And I actually lived with Hare Krishna in Europe for 6 months on and off. When I was seeking God, but I didn't really know where quite to look. And then I finally ended up in India, where, you know, the land of Hare Krishna and Hinduism. And I was at my aunt and uncle's mission to the deaf. And they really didn't try to proselytize me or anything so much. But they did, you know, invite me to the church service. And I was able to witness the good work they were doing. And I actually had to ask my uncle if I could have a Bible. And he gave me a Bible. And I began reading it. And it was the life of Jesus that really spoke to me. And that's when I encountered Christ. And I remember I mentally assented to proper doctrine. I thought, this is the real deal. But my heart wasn't really changed yet. And I came back to the United States, and I kind of began to fall away from the church because it felt like the church was being co-opted by American culture in a lot of ways, like they were enmeshed with one another. And I was seeing Jesus as being very radical and countercultural in a lot of ways, but I wasn't seeing that in the church and faith community where I was. And I ended up going to college and traveling some more and really falling away from the faith. And then at the age of about 26, I found myself teaching English in South Korea. But I used to smoke a lot of marijuana and hashish growing up, and I was smoking it there as well. And I got busted. And they charged me with trafficking narcotics, actually. But I wasn't doing any of that. It was just in my system. And because they have zero tolerance drug laws, just because it was in my system, I had to serve 3 months in a Korean prison. But it was there that I began to read the Bible again. And I read the story of Jephthah, who was the judge. And I remember just thinking, if Jephthah, this outcast, can be redeemed, maybe I too can be redeemed. And that's when an inkling of the faith began to return to me in that prison cell in South Korea. I was there, you know, and on charges that I was guilty of. You know, it wasn't like I wasn't guilty. I was there for a real reason. And then I was deported. And then I ended up in New York City. I went back to Wisconsin for a month, but it didn't seem like a good fit. I needed to go somewhere new. And I had some friends in New York. And that's how I landed in New York. And then just to catch up how I came back to the faith, a couple of years in, I was living with my then-girlfriend and, you know, writing for magazines, everything from Rolling Stone to High Times, which is actually a marijuana magazine. And my friends were saying, oh, you're on top of the world, you know. Look at you, you're doing great writing for these magazines. But I began to feel this emptiness deep within me. And I was on the train to meet with an editor one day. And when I was on the A train between Delancey and High Street underneath the East River, I remember a street preacher getting on the train and sharing the good news of Jesus. And usually I would just, you know, look away and think, this guy is a religious fanatic. You know, I'm a rational human being. I know what's what, and I don't need to hear this. But the words that he spoke just ministered to me so deeply. And I felt the Holy Spirit just rush upon me and fall upon me. And I felt convicted of my sins, of my brokenness, of all the hurt that I had caused others, my mother, my grandparents, the bad example that I had been to my younger siblings through much of my earlier life. And I felt like I couldn't do that anymore. And I began to repent in my heart. I didn't really understand these religious terms so much, a little bit, but I understood the action. And so I turned from that sin and brokenness and began to turn towards God. And then I began to get another set of convictions. But this wasn't conviction of my sin and brokenness, but it was conviction of God's grace and love and beauty and power to redeem. And the Spirit just washed over me like oceans of grace. And I remember getting off of the train, and I felt like there were shackles that had been on my hands, but I'd become so accustomed to them that I didn't even realize it. And now they were broken, and I felt so free, like I could just run and almost take off flying. And I remember I when I got off the train, I did just run for like a couple of blocks because it felt so freeing. Mm-hmm. And I returned to the apartment that I was sharing with my girlfriend, and I told her the experience that I had, and she thought I was breaking up with her, but I really did love her. And I moved out and got my own apartment, and then a few months later, she found Christ as well. And now we've been married 7 years and have two children, and we've started a number of different ministries. So God just redeems all things in amazing ways.
Yes, and your wife's very beautiful, and your kids are gorgeous. I see them, and they're really, really, I tell you what, I enjoy being with you, because I really, first of all, I know the listeners out there can feel the Holy Spirit is coming through this phone and when you're speaking. But when I'm with you, I've been with you, I tell you what, I can see Jesus, and I just got to tell you, that's why I wanted you on the show so bad. It was amazing. But I want to ask you a question. How long have you been at the Bowery?
I've been there for a little more than 4 years now.
4 years.
Yeah.
So what made you decide that you want to start working with the homeless in New York City? Was it really you just looking to be a chaplain and it happened to be at the mission, or did you seek trying to be in the homeless?
Yes, Sammy, it's definitely more the latter. I was working, for these music magazines and other magazines that promoted drug culture and sexuality and all of these things. And when I came to faith, I knew I couldn't write for those publications anymore. So I quit them, and I was actually out of work for about 6 months. I couldn't find any writing gigs. But then after about 6 months, I got a job at Forbes magazine, which felt like just a blessing. And I was there for a year or maybe almost 2 years. But I remember, after I'd been there quite a while, just how I had felt the Spirit say, you can't do this work anymore, but I want you to do a different work. I felt the same thing at Forbes. I felt, even though the dominant culture embraces, Forbes magazine and wealth and all of that, and everyone wants to be a billionaire, I felt like it was promoting greed and these certain things that are not of God. And there was things that I saw that weren't of God there. I did an interview with Donald Trump when I was at Forbes, just fact-checking. And we had to, we're fact-checking the rich list. And I called him up because, we had to call and make sure that he still has this wife and this number of children and all these kind of things. And I called him, and he asked me, he said, how much are you saying I'm worth, Forbes magazine? How much are you at Forbes magazine saying I'm worth? And this is a number of years ago now. And I said, we got you at $4 billion, that's a whole lot of money. Money I'll never see, or me and all my friends put together, we'll never see it. But to him, it wasn't enough. And he actually got upset and said, I'm worth double that or triple that. And I remember thinking, wow, honestly, even if we said he was worth triple that, it would never be enough, because mm-hmm. people are pursuing these things of the world rather than seeking first the kingdom and Christ's righteousness. And then the things will follow. But so many people are seeking these things, and it just creates a bigger and bigger hole in your heart that will never be filled. And while I was working there, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, almost in audible words, but speaking to my heart and saying, I want you to go and work with the poorest of the poor. And I was so convinced that's what I needed to do that I began looking for other work. And I found a job at the Institute for Children in Poverty, which is a policy institute, a think tank. And I worked there for about a year. And but it was very secular work, and it wasn't ministry. And I really wanted to be in ministry. And then I saw an opportunity open up at Youth Ministries for Peace and Justice. And that was my first ministry job. And I worked with Alexi Torres Fleming in the South Bronx, which is the neighborhood where I work is actually the congressional district in the United States. And I worked up there for a number of years, 2-3 years, and just raising funds. I was the development director. But working with those young people, who it's a faith-based, Christ-centered youth organization, but it's not just about Bible study up there. They also address issues in their neighborhood, from environmental injustice. The river was polluted terribly. There were no parks up there. And the young people actually organized to redeem their neighborhood. And while I was there, they'd actually launched released two parks, beautiful parks, Concrete Plant Park and Starlight Park, which used to just be, you know, a factory and a brownfield, poison, toxic land. But they were able to get the funds and to get the legislators to redeem that land, to take all away the toxic earth and put good soil and make playgrounds and places for the kids to play and just create a more healthy atmosphere. And when my when the executive director left, I kind of felt like it was time for me to leave as well. I'd learned all I could at that time from that organization and from her. And my friend James Winans, who's actually the chief development officer at the Bowery Mission, he just called me up, you know, and asked if I knew anyone who was looking for a grant writing job. And I said, well, can I put my name in the hat? And after a series of interviews, I got a job as a grant writer. You know, it's a bigger organization. So Youth Ministry is a small organization where I had a big title, and the Bowery Mission is a big organization where I started out with kind of a mid-level title. And then after a year of being there, I talked to my director, which was James, and said I would really, you know, love to work at the mission itself, because I worked at the headquarters. And I was already going there on a regular basis and preaching the gospel in the chapel. And he talked to the president of the organization, Mr. Morgan. And that weekend I was going to the camp. The Bowery Mission has so many ministries for women in recovery, for men in recovery, for children. They have a city camp, and they also have Mont Lawn Camp, which is a summer camp for at-risk children. And I was going out there with my wife, because we do different trainings and seminars on things such as conflict resolution and racial reconciliation. My wife's Afro-Guyanese, and I'm European-American, white American guy. And so we talk about these, you know, deep issues and how we can work through them as Christians. We were going out to the camp to talk to all of the counselors. They have 80 counselors. And at the beginning of summer camp, before they start, they do orientation. So I was just going out to help out. And I got the call from James and said, we'd love for you to go down to 227 Bowery and be the chapel director. And that's where I've been ever since. And when I got down there, I felt that's where the Lord wanted me from years back when I was at Forbes. And the Lord said, I want you to work with the poorest of the poor. And now there I am, you know, with prostitutes and men who've been chronically homeless for more than a decade and the throes of addiction and such brokenness. But I felt that's right where the Lord wanted me. No longer at Forbes, no longer on the music scene, but with the people who need Jesus, the people who need to find hope and possibly be transformed and realize the calling that God has placed upon their life and the innate value that they have through God as well. So I just feel blessed that I've been able to enter into my calling.
Yes, and you're awesome at it too. I've been there. Can you tell me about the stats of the Bowery Mission? How many people you feed? How many people are in your programs? Because I know you have a lot of people that are in programs, and you have people just come and eat off the street and they eat and come to chapel and then they go back out. So
sure.
Do you have those numbers?
Yeah, I got the rough numbers because I worked at the headquarters and did the grant writing. I know some of that development stuff. I really don't know the stuff for the kids camp and the women's center, but I can talk about the Bowery Mission, which is really
right.
the flagship of the organization. We do 3 meals a day, and we do upwards of 1,000 meals. We do have some people who come back, you know, and have breakfast and dinner with us, and some might just come for lunch, but we do 3 meals a day, and so upward of the thousands, sometimes around, I think, an average of 600 or 700 probably a day. We do overnight shelter. We have the residential recovery program, which is from 6 months to a year. And that's people who just need the support to move forward in their life. Some are coming straight off the street, and some are having marital problems, or they've fallen back into their addiction. So there's a whole spectrum of people who come in the program. And we have about 80 men who are on the recovery program, and it's just a wonderful program. It's faith-based, and it's Christ-centered, but it also has a clinical perspective. So the Holy Spirit is involved in the whole thing, but we also take advantage of all the best social research and clinical methods as well, and put them all together, just so that we can see lives transformed. And we also do clothing and shower program throughout the week, and we see, I think we distribute maybe about 55,000 articles of clothes per year. And the ministry work that we do is so interesting. I always look at the passage where Jesus says, "I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you got me some food. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you comforted me." And they say, Where were you? We didn't see you." And he says, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me." So
amen.
At the mission, we see that we are serving Jesus. We see that he's going through the food line, just like the men. He's down in the clothing room getting a change of clothes, you know. I've gone to jails, the tombs and Rikers Islands in the past, and I'm visiting Jesus. That's what I always remember. We're made in the image of God, and Jesus condescended to our situation and our brokenness so that we can relate to God, because we can't relate to a holy God. It's just so far from us, but he enters into our situation with such awesome humility. And so that's why we do what we do at the mission. And I know you know this, Sammy, as good as anyone. You've been to so many rescue missions across the country, and just trying to minister to the least of these and serve Jesus while we do it. It's spiritual, but it's practical. You know, we want to bring them to Christ. And I always say I love preaching. I'm preaching up to 7 times a week sometimes, now that I have a more of a, right? Sometimes, and now I have more of a team, so I'm preaching only a couple of, you know, 2 or 3 times a week now. But I always say sometimes the gospel is preached most clearly and most loudly, not in the pulpit, but in the food line, or when you hand someone a hygiene kit or a new pair of socks and a clean shirt. Sometimes that's where they really encounter the good news.
That's so true. And, you know, I love going out in the streets. You know, I like going out, as you know, like in the parks. I mean, just walking up down the street and just, you know, hey, you know, what's up? You know, and just talking to people. That's what people listening can do. You don't have to have some great big place to go. You can just go down the street and just minister to someone right there on the street. It doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah.
I love doing that. Let me ask you another thing. I know that you have some great stories that you, and we all have stories, like in your mission work or whatever, but I'm sure there's a couple or at least one that comes to mind that's something that just really has stuck with you, of a great story of life transformation that's happened at the, while you were there at the mission. Do you know what that is? Can you share that?
Yeah, I can share one, a recent one. There's this woman I know named Lori, and chronic alcoholic, some mental illness as well, but a wonderful heart. And about a year ago, she was drunk, and she was crossing the street, and she was hit by a car, and it shattered her pelvis or her hip bone, and they said she may never walk again. And I went up to the hospital, and she says she remembers me sitting up there and just praying with her and praying with her for hours. And I was just calling on the name of Jesus over her and ministering to her and just letting her know that she's loved and cared for. And she came out of it, and she was able to walk again, but not very well. And she was really, she lost so much weight, and she walked very in a very deformed kind of way. And she had a cane, and they said that's how she would be, you know, moving forward with for her life. And it broke my heart, you know, and I hardly ever saw her after that for a long time. And then about a month ago, I ride my bicycle to work and home, and I was riding my bike home, and I was taking a side street that I normally don't take, but I wanted to take a different route. Little did I know it was the Holy Spirit. And when I was on this side street where there was hardly anyone on there, I saw this just frail little body curled up on the sidewalk, and I knew I had to go to that person, because if the pastor of the Bowery Mission isn't going to go to that person, who will? And so I went to that person, and I said, hey, and it was a woman. I said, sister, are you okay? Can I help you? And it turned out to be Lori, and she was she was filthy, and she, her smell was so strong. And I'm pretty accustomed to some funk, some strong
right.
odors, you know, mm-hmm. working with this population. But it was, I was almost like repulsed by it. It was that strong. And I built up quite a high tolerance. And but I said, Lori, Gloria, are you okay? You know, I go, let me pray for you. Let me get you somewhere safe, you know. And she wasn't in her right mind. But then she realized it was me. And she was like, oh, Pastor Jason. And she had this joy of familiarity. And I said, and I talked to her for a while and tried to encourage her and try to, you know, I said, listen, you should go to the mission or another place, you know, Mary House. And she didn't really want to go anywhere, but she wanted to get up and leave. And I said, let me pray for you. And I prayed for her, and it was just a simple prayer, you know, and nothing too fancy, just a simple prayer. You know, when you're praying all the time, you're just praying. And I was just praying for her. And, you know, I gave her a hug and said, bless you, Lori. You know, I hope to see you soon. And I got on my bike, and then I went, you know, on my way. And then last week, I was in the mission, and Lori came in there. And I believe in healing, but sometimes I'm skeptical of people's claims of healing. I can't help it. It's just part of who I am, but I believe in the gifts and I believe in healing, but there's a lot of things out there where people just kind of puff it up. And she came in and she said, Pastor Jason, she says, when you prayed for me that day, she goes, do you remember praying for me? I said, I do. She goes, since you prayed for me, the desire for alcohol has left me.
Oh,
and
glory.
And
Ooh.
I can walk normally. And she did. It was in the chapel, and she walked all the way down. She did a little dance. I said, relax, Lori. But she walked all the way down, and she walked all the way back, and she was walking just fine. And it was so amazing for me. And I looked at the scripture where it says, you know, by your faith. God had given her faith in that moment. You know, I was just there to pray for her. Little did I know, could have been anyone. But because I know her, I believe the Spirit led me to her, to encourage her in that way, lay hands and pray, nothing of me just going on my way, but the Holy Spirit to touch her and deliver her from alcoholism and to heal her body. It's just, and this just happened a few weeks ago, and, you know, last week I saw her, and it's one of the biggest miracles I've ever encountered. And
wow.
So that,
isn't that
that's
beautiful?
Just, yeah, that's just filling me with encouragement.
Well, that's just confirmation you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because, you know, God sends us out to do our work, and once we're doing our work, we get to see some of the fruit. We don't always get to see all of it. We get to have a glimpse sometimes, and, you know, I think that's beautiful, because God showed you what, you know, and I know you now know, you know, that prayer was important, no matter how simple it was or wasn't, because, you know what, God knew what needed to be done, and he did it.
Yeah, and that's it. You, man, we don't see hardly any of the fruit of our labor. That's what I believe. We just labor. We just do that work.
Mm-hmm.
And sow those seeds, you know, just do it faithfully unto God and see what God will do. But every now and then we get a little gift like that,
yes.
A little glimpse of the kingdom breaking into this world.
Yes.
And it's just, and it encourages us and it helps us to press on and to persevere and continue
Ooh.
To enter into that promise that God has for us And all of us, the promise is for all of us, not just a couple of us, but
that's
for
right.
all of us.
Well, I feel
God
the spirit
so
when you're saying that. I'm telling you what, it is a beautiful thing when you do get the glimpse, because it happens to me too, and I need that to keep going, because sometimes you feel like you're just laboring, and it's like, come on, God, am I doing okay? I don't see anything here. And you know, we all will see it one day, but we need to see a little bit here to keep going. And then when you get that, it gets you on fire again, and you're running ahead again, you know. And then you get on fire again, and then you get on, it's on fire again. So God knows that we need that. And so when he shows us that, shows us that, we are running. I get a little bit of that on the streets, and I'm running down those roads.
Yep. When I returned to my faith, 08 or so many years ago, that was one of my main prayers. One of them was, don't let me turn back like I turned back before. And the other one was, more fire. More fire. God, send me more fire. Burn up my iniquity. Burn up my sin. God, and just set me ablaze like that burning bush that burned but was not consumed, oh God. And so that's a good prayer to have. Just ask God's fire to keep falling.
I pray for fire. I love the fire. I want the fire. I want to be blazing all the time. I want that fire to get so big that it's just unbelievable. Just keep putting it just bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and it just keeps me going and going and going. Praise God. I'm getting excited on that.
And that's it. And the fire comes, and it's like a prairie fire, you know. You come and you look and you see. And at first, after the fire comes, everything looks scorched. But then you come back in next season and you see all that stuff that was burned up made the earth richer, and the plants that remained, the roots are deeper, and the fruit that it bears is more abundant. So we need that fire. It prepares us.
Yeah,
it refines
us. It prunes you back and lets you grow bigger and better than you ever dreamed.
Hallelujah.
Hey, let me ask you, how can someone be a volunteer at the mission and get involved there if they live in that area?
Well, we have a really, one of our biggest days coming up, which is Thanksgiving, where we serve thousands of people at the Bowery Mission itself, but then also at outreaches throughout the city. We go to Penn Station and Port Authority and all these different places. And that's a big day. And I don't think the registration is up quite yet. We just had our first Bowery Mission Thanksgiving meeting quite recently. And so that's something to look out for. But also you can go to the website, which is www.bowery/volunteer. And there they have stuff for individuals and groups and church groups and ways to fundraise for the homeless or host a food or clothing drive, all these different things. So a lot of opportunities.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that's great, because I want to have to volunteer before the year is up. I can't wait to get back up there. I want to ask you something. Tell me the history about the pulpit that's at the chapel at the main mission downtown.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little. Let me give you a little brief overview of some of the history, and it revolves around the pulpit. The pulpit is it's the original pulpit. It's been there over 100 years, same as our pews and the altar furniture. All of those are well over 100 years. Everyone from Billy Graham to the former presidents have spoken at that pulpit, and it was the Bowery Mission, where we currently are. It was a building that was constructed in about 1816, and before the Bowery Mission moved into it, this is a third or fourth location, but this is the location we've been at longest. When we moved into it well over 100 years ago, about 110 years ago or so, or maybe a little more, it was actually a coffin factory, the chapel was. So now it's a big, tall chapel. Is beautiful. It's actually a historic preservation site in New York City. A few years ago, it was designated a historic part of New York City. And it's a beautiful chapel, but a floor, used to have a floor that went right through it. So it was two floors. And that's where the coffin factory was. So I say it was a place that once prepared people for death, now it prepares them for new life.
Wow.
So it's amazing how God even transforms buildings. So some
time.
Oh,
yes. It's a beautiful facility. And I tell you, I got to preach at that pulpit 4 times. I was so excited. I'm still not over it.
Yes.
I have a beautiful picture of it. And it's like, when you told me the history when I was there, I have told everyone. I was so excited about Harry Truman preaching from that same pulpit. I thought that was, like, so amazing, you know. And it's like, oh, wow. Well, I have some other things I'm going to get into with you.
Sure.
But first, we're going to see if we have a caller online.
Okay.
Do we have a caller online?
Nope.
Okay, I guess it fell off. Okay. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get into some other things I have here I want to talk to you about. Oh, and first of all, too, so you're doing one more thing about the Bower. You do outreaches, and so you're doing it once a week. I know you go to parks and some other places. So you're doing this a different location every week or the same? How many locations are you doing?
Yeah, we have 4 locations. We're in Brooklyn, in Maria Hernandez Park, and we're at Tompkins Square Park. And recently we have partnered with the Relief Bus, and I believe you had someone from the Relief Bus on recently. And we're partnering with them up in Chelsea and just, you know, building a coalition of laborers to share the gospel and meet the needs of the homeless and hungry. So.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. It's all of us coming together, because it's one God, no walls. There's nothing about any certain religion or anything. It's just all of us, you know, being there for the kingdom. And, it's great. I can't wait to come back up there. But, okay, so now let's talk about some really exciting things. Mm. I know you have your book out, and we want to hear all about it. I'd like for you to tell us the name of it. And I do have some questions about that. I was reading on some of this, what I have here. I love the overview you had on some of that. You said that it was a book that was aimed for Christians who want something deeper. Mm-hmm. And it also talks about you're the Mennonite minister and the director of Interfaith Interventional Community in New York. And I wanted to hear a little bit about that.
Right. It's not actually interfaith. It's you might say it's ecumenical. So the intentional community we have, it's a faith-based, Christ-centered, co-housing community. There's about 20-plus folks who live in a one-block radius in Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn. And it's ecumenical in that we have everyone from being Pentecostal to Presbyterian and you know, all different stripes of Christianity. But it's Jesus who brings us together.
Yes.
And so the community is called Radical Living. And it's our 7th year as a community. And we gather together, and we really just try to embody Jesus' presence in our neighborhood and on our blocks. We're in a one-block radius. And we have a four-family brownstone, which is filled with followers of Jesus. Me and my wife, we have the ground, and our children have the ground floor apartment. And then other folks share apartments above us. And then over the last 7 years, folks who've gotten married, instead of actually moving out and going with their spouse, they've come with their spouse and found another apartment on the block. So we have 3 other married couples who live right on the block, which is really neat, because it was first just me and my wife. And then we have a lot of single people, you know. It's really a pretty young community. And my wife and I, we're just you know, about 40. And we're the oldest ones in the community except for one person. So most people are, you know, 20s and 30s. So very enthusiastic and very passionate. And it's just a lovely, thriving community, kind of based on the Book of Acts. That's what we were really looking for. We were members of a mega church in New York, and we got a lot out of it. But then after a while, it felt like we weren't able to exercise the gifts that God had given us so much. And we wanted to meet together and really wrestle with these things. So that's why we first opened up our house. And it just became a ministry more than we could have expected. And we really try to pattern ourselves after that early church and how they met in each other's homes. And when they gathered together, one person had a hymn and another person had a prophecy or a psalm or a song or a teaching or a word of encouragement. And it's really the Spirit that leads the gathering. So we've been doing that for a while.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, I do that too. We do HOP. It's House of Prayer. We go to a different home every week. Because I was in the mega churches too, and I just wasn't able to, you know, to do all my all of my different gifts I had and the things that, you know, I wanted to do too. And a whole bunch of us are like that. So we get together and we have an awesome church. You know, we can, wow. You know, do what, you know, Holy Spirit comes there. It just blows out the place just like
right.
It does at your house, it sounds like. And so, I mean, it's like it was like way back when. So why not do it? Go back like the original church should have been anyway, because it's got so commercialized anymore that
right.
That's not really like what I want to do anyway, because I'm there to see Jesus, not all the fancy music. The music's nice and all, but you know what? You can get a CD.
Right.
I want to hear about Jesus. When I have that time for him, I want to get into that, and that's what I want to do. So tell us about your book, the title
sure.
of it, and where we can get it. And I tell you, I'm really excited about that for you.
Yeah, the book is called Radical Spirituality, and the subtitle is Repentance, Resistance, Revolution. And it just talks about the things we're talking about, like what is the church? What is the Bible? Who is Jesus? It's these big questions and really trying to take away, reveal all these layers of extra baggage that have been placed on the body of Christ for so long to get to the root of the message. You know, that's what radical means. It means root. So really just trying to get to the core values and the simple meaning of these things without all the other things that we've added on to it. And it's really partially autobiographical, telling some of my stories, but it's also, you know, scriptural exegesis, where I look at different passages in the Bible and really try to explore them. And it's about the community here and a little bit about the Bowery Mission, but I didn't go into the Bowery Mission too much, because actually just last week I was commissioned to write my second book, which will be about my experiences at the Bowery Mission. So that's forthcoming. That's coming down the road. But it's really neat, because this feels like a great first book for me to put out, Radical Spirituality, because it really kind of lays out my grassroots theology, you could say, because I really believe in doing theology from the ground up. I don't believe in that ivory tower theology, which is just all up in your head and very little heart and no practical application. I really believe that you must have the practice before you have the theology. There's a man, he's actually a Catholic priest in Peru named Gustavo Gutierrez, and he talks about this stuff. He was, you know, classically trained seminarian, super intellectual guy, but he realized that he could, you know, have all the fancy titles and all of this, but if he's not going to be with the poor, that it's no good. And that's what he said. He said, practice before theology. You got to follow Jesus. And he followed him into the slums of Peru. And I really believe that. You got to have the practical application. It can't just be all this pie in the sky, you know,
right.
intellectual ideas. But how do you really let the love of Christ manifest through your life, and not just your life, but your life in community with others? Because I don't believe that we're made to, you know, just to be alone, but we're made for community. You know, the Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God, and God is three in one. And in
right.
a way, God is community. So we too are made for one another. And so that's kind of part of the countercultural angle of the book, where, you know, America, it's a wonderful country, so many great things, but sometimes it places values on things that aren't actually scriptural. Very big focus on individualism and independence, but I really believe that there should also be a focus on the community and a focus on interdependence as well. You know, how do we support one another? How do we strengthen one another? How can we have come under those who are weak and in need, and how can we allow others to come under us and lift us up? And it's just that's that revolution. Jesus came down and he lifted us up, and now we come down and we lift others up. That's the revolution, and overturning and subverting of the powers and principalities of this world.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, it's amazing. I'm so enjoying this interview. I'm sure that our listeners are too. I can't wait for your second book too, but the first book right now can be purchased on ebook with a notebook, right? And then the other one's a paperback, and we can get this online at where?
Amazon and Barnes and Noble. It's thousands of places online. You just put in Radical Spirituality, and it'll come up. Make sure you get the one by Jason Storbach, and there's another one that's all this kind of crazy metaphysical stuff. But Radical Spirituality.
Oh, definitely want yours. Yes,
yeah, and
definitely.
On the cover, it's got this image by this graffiti artist named Banksy from England, and no one really knows who he is. He's an anonymous artist, but the image is black and white, and it has a man, and it looks like he's about to throw a Molotov cocktail, but then instead of the Molotov cocktail, the bomb, it's actually a bouquet of flowers, and it says, and it shows, and it's the only thing in color, and basically what the image is saying is that things have to change, but it's not going to change through violence. It's got to change through love and beauty and mercy and grace and humility and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we need change, but how we do it is through the way of Jesus. And I take
Jesus'
words literally, you know, when he says love your enemies, when he says these things.
Okay, I think we have a caller on the line.
Right.
Hello?
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks
this
for calling
Cindy
in.
McManus.
Oh, hi, Cindy. How are you?
Doing great. Well, we're just driving in from out of town and listening to the broadcast and really enjoying hearing the testimony from Pastor Jason. And just to let you know, the story is very inspiring and what a blessing. We got to go to the Bowery Mission with Sammy back in January. We didn't get to meet you, but we had such a great time. What a wonderful ministry that's going there. And I know for many, many years, how exciting to hear about the pulpit and all of the furnishings and all of the history behind it. It was just intriguing to me. Thought I'd call in and say say that.
It's wonderful. It's really neat that you were able to go there and visit. And were you able to stay for a chapel or for a meal at all?
Yes. My husband actually ministered at the chapel, and then we got to serve afterwards.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, they came with me, Jason.
Blessing.
They met me up there. They flew from Texas up there.
Wow,
and,
that's really
up there,
neat.
And they met me, yeah.
In the middle of an
beautiful.
Ice storm.
Yeah, yes, it was around January 9th or 10th or whatever it was. No, 4th or 5th, I guess it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's quite a time to go in the right in the middle of winter.
Yes, and my first visit there, so it was a real treat.
Yeah.
It was really an amazing time. Bowery Mission was the highlight of the whole trip. So,
so many people say that.
They encourage everybody to come.
Yeah, they go to New York and they see Times Square and Broadway and the Empire State Building, but then they always say, oh, the Bowery Mission, just the richness of the experience of being there, nothing like
it.
It was
amazing.
Beautiful. Yes, it was. Oh, it's so awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, also, too, the new book, are you going to be going on pre-order on your new book here for long?
The new book, I haven't even started writing it. It was just commissioned.
Oh, I gotcha. Oh, okay.
So probably in about a year, 2 years even, then that one will be complete. Now, my first one just came out September 10th.
Right. It's really good. And, you know, Cindy and Daryl, the ones you just called in, they are out. Actually, they just have their new book out, and they're out going around the U.S. taking their book on the road out there and being on TV shows and stuff too, pushing theirs, and they're spirit filled like we all are. So it's a really amazing book too. But you know, another thing too is, you know, I'm gonna be coming up there in New York toward the fall here. You're gonna have an opportunity for me to come out there and preach.
Yeah, you know it. We have. I always say it's the most active pulpit in New York City. We got 3 chapels a day, so just let me know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be calling you because I want to definitely be putting my name down on about several of those, hopefully, and here for long. But, you know, it's just been a wonderful time speaking with you tonight, Jason. And I tell you what, I just want you to know that I know that someone out there has really received something from what you've said tonight, because there's so many people out there. Sometimes, one, they don't know how to serve or how to help, but more than important, they just don't really know how to pray or don't know Jesus. But, you know, we've told them a lot of things, and your book's going to have a lot of detail on that, too, and so does our website and everything. Do you have a website?
I do. My personal website is, I just put it out for my book, it's www.jasonstorbakken.com, and it's Jason, traditional spelling, Storbakken.com. And then the website for our community is www.radical-living.org. And then Bowery.org. That's the Bowery.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. That is so awesome. Well, you know what? It's getting close to the end of our show, and we have to get off here soon. But you know what, Jason? I would love for you to pray us out tonight, and hopefully someone out there will receive a blessing.
Sure. Let us pray. Father, we praise your holy name. We worship and adore you. We humble ourselves before your mighty throne, and we just pray your spirit upon us. Help us, O Lord, when we don't know where to go, that your divine insight, your Holy Spirit, will give us direction. When we're hurting, O God, that you will comfort us, O Lord. Let us call upon your name at all times. Lord, I pray for any people out there right now who are feeling any sense of loss or frustration or hurt, that your spirit would go to them and comfort them, O God, that you would ease their mind, that you would give them a deep sense of your holy peace, O Lord. Father, anyone out there feeling any anxiety or urgency, I pray that your spirit will just give them satisfaction in your presence, O God. Lord, I know that there's people out there listening who have physical illnesses, O God, perhaps hepatitis, O God, or cancer, or HIV, or migraines, O God, or pains in their limbs, O Lord, or stomach problems. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your spirit will go out to them, O God, and remove any of their pain and any of their afflictions, O God, and draw them closer to you. Let it be a testimony of your faithfulness, O God. And Father, any out there who don't know you or who have fallen away from you, O God, or who aren't living a life that is right with you, O God, send your Holy Spirit to them.
Yes.
Convict them of their sin and of their brokenness, but also call them to turn to you and convince them, O God, of your grace and your mercy and your love for them. In the name of Jesus, O God, send out your spirit, O God, that there will be just salvation, O God, to all of the listeners, O God, and to their families, O God, and across the cities, O God, and across the states and the countries and across the oceans, O God, on every continent. Let there just be a revival and an awakening of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, a new movement, a new rush of your Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord Jesus. We pray you return soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, amen. That was beautiful. You know, I pray that someone out there received that prayer, because all this, everything we do is for the kingdom. We just pray for you to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you no matter where you're at in your life right now. Just turn to him and let him know that you know that he's God, that he's your Savior, that you accept him as your Savior, and you repent of your sins and you want to follow him. And that you know that if you was to die tonight, that, and you would know right now that you would go to heaven if you surrender to him. Because if you have any doubt, we just pray right now for him, just the Holy Spirit, just to grab you, like he said, and just let you know that he has you now. And just ask him to forgive you and to save you and be your Savior. And I just think everyone out there that was listening tonight, that I want you all to know that no matter where you are, that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose in 3 days. He loves you where you are. There's nothing that you have done, nothing that you have done that will ever, ever not let him be in your life. And you can never scare him off. It doesn't matter what you've done. Sometimes people think, oh, I've done this, he'll never want me. He wants you. He wants you. He wants to love you. He wants you to cry out to him and ask him to come into your life. And that's what it's all about, eternity with him. Your choices are heaven or hell or heaven. However you say it, it's the same two things. What is your choice? we're going to be signing off here really shortly, but I just want you to know out there, we just thank you for listening to 5252 Ministry Street Talk tonight. And you can contact us again at 5252ministries.org. Our phone number and our email is there in our guest book. So however you want to communicate, just let's have a shout from you. We want to know if you received tonight the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We just pray that He right now His Spirit is just working on you, and just right now that you know that if you died tonight, where you would go. Every Wednesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. Central Time, we're on KSK Radio. So we just want you to come back every Wednesday if you can, because you know what? God loves you. And this is a wrap from 5252 Ministry Street Talk in Houston, Texas. Shalom.